Good morning. Hey, everybody seems so down today. I can feel it back there. It's like a room full of Patriot fans. No? That was just for Joaquin. Big Jim's not here. He's not feeling good, so I would have been for him too. I'll just let that sink in. Poor Joaquin. I'm sorry. How's everybody? Good? How many of you want to get something out of the Christian life? Or how do you, I mean, everybody agrees they want something out of it, right? I mean, you would think if you follow Jesus, you'd want to get something. Life would be different in some way, right? I mean, it should be. But it's difficult, isn't it? Think about that for a moment. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can just come into your presence. And I pray right now, Lord, that you just open up our hearts and our minds. And I pray this morning you would just convict us and move us and excite us and stir us up, Lord, for your word, for the Christian life, for following Christ, to be surrendered to Christ, to live in Christ. Lord, I pray for that. And I pray if there's anybody here that's never put their faith in Christ this morning, I pray that they would do that. I pray for all of us, Lord, that we would live life surrendered to our King. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're starting a new series, Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be looking at Matthew 5 through 7. It's Jesus' longest sermon. If you have your Bibles, and I just hope you get familiar with this passage, these chapters over the next few weeks, months. We're going to be here for a little while. But I just want you to just saturate yourself with the Sermon on the Mount. And we're gonna look at chapter 5, and we're going to start today. Today's kind of like a kickoff, and I just want to start things off. You know, I was a young person once. I was, a long time ago now. And there was a time I call BC. BC, before children. You know, in this time, I thought I knew what it was like to be a parent. You know, you're growing up as a kid. You look at, like, you know, kids, and you go, you know, I could do that. I mean, I was a kid once. It's something that I had parents. You know, so I watched and observed my parents. I watched and observed other parents. I thought I had this parenting thing kind of down. You know, I could see it from a distance. You might have even, you know, had an experience where you raised kids, you were babysat, maybe whatever it was, you were around children. Maybe you helped with a brother or sister. And then you had this idea of what it was like to be a parent. You had this idea, right? But until you have children of your own, you have no idea what it means. That's what I learned. That's what I learned. To carry the weight of just caring for them every day, I had no idea. I mean, I remember when Joshua was born, his little purple cone head, looking down at him, thinking, holy smokes. You know, now he's a big guy in the back, 26 years old now. But I remember that day, he was just a little thing, and he had a little sock hat on, and I was thinking he was all purple. Like, is he the right color? Is this right? You know? And I had no idea what this is going to entail until you start raising him. And then it's just like so overwhelming. And then you have a second child, and you think, well, I learned how to do everything on the first child. It'll work on the second child. It doesn't work because the second one is totally different because he's a human being and he's got his own things going on. And everything you tried with the first one, you try with the second one, and they just totally have nothing to do with it. But that's what it was like. And that's what it's been like. Many of us, we have a view of what the Christian life is like. I mean, we have these concepts and ideas of what the Christian life is like, but until you start living it, you really don't understand what it's about. And I think that's the case for many believers. G.K. Chesterton, who lived in the 1900s, and he was observing the world around him changing. He had faith. He said, "Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and not tried." Let me say it again. Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried. And I think that's a reason for many of us that we try to live the Christian life and we just find it too hard. Because you know what I think happens? Is we forget that we need to be in Christ to live the Christian faith. And we try to do it in our own power. And it doesn't take long for you to realize that you can't do this on your own. Especially if you're trying to live your faith apart from a church, from a body, you can't do it. Because we need each other. And we need to be in Christ together to live the Christian life. This morning, we're going to attempt to answer this question of what that looks like and how to live the Christian faith, especially as we start looking forward to the Sermon on the Mount. And I just want to encourage you to read that. Because Jesus, when we see this, he's going to spend two or three chapters describing an entirely different way of living. Totally different from the culture around him, even in his day, and it's definitely different for us. And just to give you an example of this, let's read Matthew 5, 1 through 10 together, just so we can see what Jesus, just a glimpse of what Jesus is going to talk about. "When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you.'" I mean, those are pretty lofty words, aren't there? I mean, you just think about what he is saying there. When we look at the Gospel of Matthew, it deals with one central theme. It is the kingdom of God. And we learn from Matthew's gospel that Jesus himself is the focus of that kingdom. Who he is, what he is, and what he says and what he does is what the Gospel of Matthew looks at. Jesus starts his ministry by saying in Matthew 4:17, he says this, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near." And he's talking about himself. He is here. He's on earth. The kingdom of heaven is with him. He begins by preaching the good news of the kingdom. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts to explain what it means to repent and to belong to this new kingdom. He's ushering this new kingdom in, and he's describing what it's going to be like for the person who lives in this kingdom. And he's going to describe a kingdom and of lifestyles. It's a totally, like a kingdom lifestyle, and it's totally different from the world around him. And he's explaining what that looks like. What should that look like as a Christian, as you enter into this kingdom of God? What does that look like? And how should it compare to the world around them? as we read and study the Sermon on the Mount, it's essential to keep this thought of what Jesus is saying. This is a different way of living. It's kingdom living, because we're going to discover more about what Jesus says about himself as we listen and hear his words. It's going to be important to, because if you're going to live out what Jesus says in this text, we got to do so with a right relationship with Christ. Because if you're going to read this, you're going to live this, if you're going to be part of this kingdom, he is saying you got to be surrendered. You got to live in Christ. And if you read the Sermon on the Mount, if you don't have that perspective, you're going to feel totally overwhelmed by what Jesus is saying. Sinclair Ferguson said this: living the Sermon on the Mount can never be divorced from a right relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way we can live to this level that Jesus teaches is to submit to the lordship of the one who's preaching it. That's him himself. He preaches as one who has authority in this sermon. As you read through the Sermon on the Mount, what you're going to find out is that Jesus talks with a lot of authority. I don't know if you've ever read the Sermon. How many of you have read the Sermon on the Mount? Well, I want you to read it, read it, read it. But what you're going to find is that Jesus doesn't allow you to sit on the fence. I don't know if you've ever, anytime I read through the Gospels, it's always that way. Jesus never allows you to just sit still with your faith. He doesn't let you just coast along. You either believe and follow, or you don't at all. That's just how he is. For instance, you know, you take some hard sayings. Here's one of the sermon, one towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. This is what Jesus says in chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, just to give you an indication. Jesus assumes here the role of judge of mankind and says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do as the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many, many miracles in your name?' And then I will announce to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers.'" That's one of the scariest verses in the Bible for me, the whole passage there. Because he's talking about many people will say they have a right relationship with Jesus, but on the day that you come and you know Christ, you introduce to Christ, when you come before him, he's going to say, "I never knew you." That should cause all of us to tremble inside our hearts. Are we in a right relationship with Christ? And that's what we're going to face when we read the Sermon on the Mount. We're coming across these kind of sayings, these kind of teachings from Jesus. And the biggest question is, am I in a right relationship with Christ? People who heard these messages, they recognized his teaching as one who had authority, it says. Living under the authority of Jesus is something that we all struggle with. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, how many of you, it doesn't come natural for us to just surrender, does it? To surrender our will, to say, "Yes, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow Christ." It doesn't come natural for us. The truth of the matter is that we can never live in his kingdom without Jesus being Lord, King and Lord. It's impossible. It's impossible. As we read the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to learn that Jesus is describing what salvation looks like when he is Lord and Savior of your life. There's two thoughts that I come about when I think about the surrendering to Christ. Because it doesn't come natural. It doesn't come easy for us. It's very, I mean, just think about it. When you're facing situations in your life, how easy is it for you to just try to take and figure out things on your own? Anybody done that before? I do it all, I've done it so many times I can't even, you would think I would learn, right? But I'm slow to learn on this. And it's only when I get on my knees or when I stop and I pause and I start to think and I invite Christ into the situation, things start to change. But he's always been there. It's easier for me to try to figure it out on my own because I don't want to surrender. Amen? The first thing that comes to mind when I think about putting my faith in Christ. It's having a faith of a child. Having a faith of a child. Jesus said this. He said, truly I tell you, he says, unless you turn and become like a child, like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. See, I love that. Because he's not coming in to our lives as king and just demanding you to follow him. No, he's saying, have the faith of a child. Just believe. Right? I mean, one of the things that I loved when I was raising my kids is I could tell them anything and they would believe it. Right? I could say the sky is purple or red. You know what? They'd tell all their friends the sky was red until someone told them blue. Then they would figure out that maybe dad isn't telling them the truth. Maybe he's messing with them. Right? But that was children, right? Children have that. They believe in what you say. They believe what you say is truth. And they don't question you. It's only when they get older that they start to figure out things and question things. But here we see Jesus saying that we've got to come to him with a simple faith. A simple faith. To believe and to trust him as a child would. And when I think about this, the second thing, what I love about Scripture, in chapter 11, he says, take up my yoke and learn from me. Because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We're to have the faith of a child, and he walks with us. This idea of being yoked together. I don't know if you've ever seen the picture where you have two oxen, and they got like a piece of wood between the two of them. You know what happens? The oxen by itself can do a lot of work. But if you put two oxen side by side with no yoke between them, they'll both work independently. But something happens when they put the yoke on. They walk together. They synchronize. And they can do twice, three times the amount of work than an ox. You know what I love about this picture here? Jesus is saying, listen, yoke with me. And let's walk together. Let's work this together. Let's live this faith together. You are never meant to do this on your own, but to be yoked to Christ. And by being yoked to Christ, look at it. He says that he is humble of heart. You'll learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. How many of you struggle in this world? And yet he says, I'll walk with you. I love that. So, you know, he comes to us as Lord and Savior. He comes as this king, part of a mass kingdom that we're being invited into. And he says, have faith of a child, believe in me, and then I will walk with you through this life. I think it's a beautiful picture. That's how I see salvation. That's how I see Jesus working in our lives. Being part of the kingdom is to believe in Jesus and to walk with him and peace with him. We welcome a life surrendered to a king because where else would we go? Well, who else would I want but to follow and be in Christ? We want to see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, as Charlie read the Lord's Prayer this morning. So here's what I don't want to happen. When you read this, what I don't want to happen through this series is that you read this and you get this feeling, this sense of hopelessness. Have you ever read something in the Bible where you just said, that's impossible? I can't do that. Like, forgive your enemies, because Jesus is going to talk about that. There's parts of things and we see in Scripture, it just seems impossible. And what I want you to do, I don't want you to feel like you can never measure up to what's being taught by Jesus. Because what he's saying is, if you walk with him, these things are possible and even more. But rather, here's what I want you to do. As you read through the Sermon on the Mount, as we preach through it, what I want you to see is a glorious vision of how Christ intends our life to become. It's what he wants you to be. It's where he wants you to go. To get the most out of this in the coming weeks, what you've got to become very familiar with Matthew 5 through 7. And I want to just encourage you, as you go home this afternoon, after you have a hamburger, is go read the Sermon on the Mount. If you, before you come to church next week, read the Sermon on the Mount. It's 3 chapters. I did it this morning. You can read through it. And if you can't read for whatever reason, there's plenty of places online. There's BibleGateway.com. There's so many different ways you can listen to it. You can listen to it on your phone. You can listen to it wherever. Listen to it. And one thing is, as you start to read this and as you start to look at this, you're going to see that you belong to a whole new order of things. Jesus is bringing a whole new way of thinking. You're going to realize as you read this that Jesus isn't making things simpler or easier or less demanding. He's not going to do that. You're going to read it and be challenged. He is asking you to fully surrender and embrace his lordship because he wants others to see that you're part of the kingdom of God. And he wants to walk with you in that. See, here's the thing. We're called to be different. Did you know that? You're called to be different. You know, I don't know if you know, I was in the Air Force. I lived in England for 3.5 years. Yes, England. I met my wife there. We got married in a little place called Bicester 30 years ago. Bicester, depending on where you come from. And I lived off base and I had British landlords and I had British neighbors. And we spoke the same language, kind of. I remember going to a dealership once and he says, "Oh, you have aluminum rims." And I looked at him, right? And he says, "Oh, you're a Yank. Aluminum." And he said it laughing, you know, because of the way Americans say it, you know. And so we had the same language, but then again, we didn't say it the same way. We could understand each other, but it was different. The accents were different. The food was different. It's not what you thought it was, you know. I remember going to a carnival. And they had hot dogs. I thought they were hot dogs until I bit into one. It wasn't a hot dog at all. I couldn't get to the trash can fast enough to get rid of that thing. Sharon was the same way. And so we learned, you know, the food might look the same, but it's not the same. Not at all. The money was different. Even the electrical outputs were different. I remember being late for work once because I plugged my American clock in. And the cycles are slower. So over the night, I was an hour behind. Or actually, it was faster. It's faster. It's a faster one. So I thought it was 6, and it was really 7. And they're knocking on my door, and I had the guy come in and say, "Look at my clock. I want you to see what it says, that I'm not late." You know, I just didn't know that the cycles were different on the thing. I had no idea. We drove on the opposite side of the road. I don't know if you've ever drove on the left side of the road. It's different. I go to shift, and I ran my hand into the door because it's on the other side. Everything was different. And in some ways, it was the same. As Christians, we live in this world, but our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here. This is not our home. This is what the scriptures tell us. We're temporary residents. This is not our home. We're not to get comfortable here because we're not made for here. You and I are not made for here. We are part of this world, but we're not part of this world. And yet Jesus calls us not to hide. He doesn't want us to hide. He wants us to be of all things salt and light in this world. And you're going to see that. He's going to call us on that. The Sermon on the Mount is going to challenge you on many levels. And Jesus is calling you to live out your faith in a fallen world, but not live it like everyone else. He's calling us to live in such a way that you are totally surrendered to him so that a dying world can see the kingdom through us. That's what you're going to find. But the kingdom starts, The kingdom life starts and ends with a right relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, we can't go through and read the Sermon on the Mount and even attempt to live it if you don't know who Jesus is. And so this right now, I don't know where you are in your walk or where you've been or how's it been with your walk with Christ, if you've ever surrendered to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever thought of what that means. I would love to talk to you about that. And I'm going to invite you to come pray with me, to come put your faith in Jesus Christ, to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and on the third day, according to the scripture, rose and was a witness to many, witnessed by many. And we put our faith in Jesus that he died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again so that we might have life. And we're to surrender to that. Jesus, somebody, you think about this, somebody asked me, why Jesus? And I would say, because Jesus is worthy. There is no one like Christ. The thought that God became flesh, walked among us, lived a perfect life, and then offers you life into a kingdom that you just simply have to believe, and then he walks with you through the Holy Spirit, teaching you in this life, and that this life is just the beginning of something else. It's a great gift, and we want to celebrate that. And one of the ways we celebrate that as a church is we take the Lord's Supper together.